Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Astros Baseball. I am back from my trip to Maryland, Philadelphia, whatever you want to call it. And I got to watch a game today. I got to watch the Astros, got to be all excited about Mr. Spencer Arrighetti. It was good while it lasted. It didn't end well. Here to talk about it, my good friend Wally. What's up, buddy?
You know, Rob, I had the same expectation that you did. I took a quick look at the ERA of our two pitchers that have come up from Sugarland, and between Brett Blair Henley and Arrighetti, they've got an ERA of 32.43.
I think the guy they threw in there, was it yesterday, right?
A couple of days against the Rangers on Sunday, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, the guy from Texas. I think they just threw him in there because I thought they're throwing him in there because they're not going to burn Arrighetti. They're not going to burn one of their good guys. And I mean, the dude gave up tons of runs, but the Astros fought back. It was crazy. That's when Seth Martinez was the player of the game, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I didn't do that game, but if wasn't, he should have been the player of the game for him to go almost two innings more than he's ever gone in a game. That's pretty, I think the only Martinez did maybe gone last year. Remember they played Cleveland last year and they had that extra inning game and they should have closed it out, but Pena made that error on a double play ball.
And they just left him out there.
And there's no place, nobody else to put out there.
That's it.
But I think he threw like four innings that day. But he's been a real bright spot this year.
All right. So if you didn't see the game, folks, the Astros lose 11-2. The debut of Spencer Arrighetti, it started out amazing. The guy, his balls were moving around everywhere. He looked great. I think he walked a guy one inning and gave up a hit another inning. He might have had like three strikeouts, but he looked really, really good. However, when you get to the third inning, it seems like, and they mentioned it on the broadcast, that perhaps the team was talking about that he's not throwing anything inside, so look outside. They batted like 10 or 11 people that inning and brought in seven runs. So he had no runs allowed the first two innings, and he gave up all seven of them in the third.
Yeah, he got wild. He was getting behind people in the first couple of innings and still was able to wiggle off the hook. He had a walk the first inning, a single the second inning, and then he was still wild and then started missing inside the strike zone. A good example is when Velasquez got his little blue pit to right field. I think it was a cutter. And it was on the outside corner, but it was up. So he didn't really have to do too much with the ball. If he hits it, gets the ball down where it should have been, it's a little ground ball to second base. He threw, 75 pitches, something like that. I think he's going to get another start. If for no other reason, they don't have anybody else to put in. They're running short. They were just running short of players. And, you know, the concern that you have with the Astros is something we've talked about early before the season started when we saw the schedule, is you certainly can't win the division in April, but you certainly can lose it if you're not careful.
Yeah. So Arrighetti threw 79 pitches and 47 were for strikes. And it's not like they were crushing the ball. They weren't hitting it very hard. They were just hitting it in the right spot. I don't think the kid pitched that bad. I mean, I think his numbers are worse than he pitched, but I mean, they definitely was figuring him out the second time they got to see him.
Pasquantino got a hold of his. You know, if you get a ball hit out of Kauffman Stadium, you've hit it because that's a big ballpark.
Yeah, that was later really in the game.
I think it was the third inning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the third inning. Let me check, take a look. Yeah, he doubled to left. No, you're right. That was later in the game. That was in the fourth. He hit homer to right field. But Pasquantino's double was pretty hard hit ball.
Yeah. I mean, they had a few of them, but a lot of them weren't very hard.
Renfro's double was a pretty hard hit, but Velasquez's single to right was drove in two, and that's the one we were talking about where he just left the ball up and they got a hit. Frazier's single to center was a well struck ball, but it wasn't a rocket.
Yeah. So the Astros, they only scored two runs, but I think when your starting pitcher gives up seven runs in the third, it's kind of disheartening. But Yainer Diaz had an RBI double, and then Abreu had his first RBI of the year with a sac fly, and that made it 7-2, and it's still early. I mean, but if the Astros offense can turn it on, they can still catch them, but I don't think they did anything else the rest of the game. Yeah, they didn't. That was the last run they scored.
No, it was seven. You know, it's not like it was against the Rangers when you're down 5-2. Against the Rangers, they had scored two in the top of the first. Mm-hmm. Rangers come back and score five. You're down three, so your distance to cover is not quite as bad. Now you're down 7-0 in the third inning. Pasquantino hit his home run in the fourth, and what was real demoralizing about that is you come back and you score two. Then they come and hit you right back. Yep. And almost after that, it really felt like the air was out of the Astros.
It just felt like you're just watching the game for the heck of it. Like I was hardly even paying attention.
You know what I was really watching it for? I was watching it so Space City Network could interrupt the middle of the inning with all their commercials. And I missed Abreu's first home run of the first RBI of the year.
All right, so Kansas City added a run in the sixth and two more in the ninth. They made it 11-2, ran away with it. But let's get to that. I didn't even do the banners tonight. You know, that's how excited we are about doing this tonight. But, I mean, it's late. You know, I got to go to work. But that's what I was seeing on X. Everybody was saying, and I read it yesterday, too, when I couldn't watch the games. And they're saying, why are they going to commercial break? But it wasn't doing it for me. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if they know that's happening or why
they do.
It's happening.
They do.
They need to fix it.
TK and Blum made the comment during the game. The thing about it, Rob, is that it wasn't like, oh, they screwed up and put a commercial and they pull it off and go straight back. It was a full, 2 minutes of commercials.
Yeah.
It was really strange.
It's like I'm the only one that got to see Abreu's first RBI.
Careful. That puts you in the exclusive company.
Oh, yeah. All right. So Belak threw two innings, a hit and a run. And I would assume he just gave up that run in the fourth. Mashinsky threw two and two-thirds. He gave up three runs, and Scott came in and ended it. But Arrigetti, 79 pitches, 47 strikes. What kind of grade would you give him? How do you think he did?
C-.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say C-. I hate to call him a D+, but I thought he'd come up and he'd vary his pitches a little more. One of the things I think that the Royals picked up on, it was basically the same pitches the second time around as it was the first time around.
Yeah, I really think they figured him out.
Yeah, I think they did too. You would have hoped he would have thrown once at Arsenal the first time up and would have saved something for the second time. But he really never threw anything that I saw was off speed. I mean, real off speed. He didn't have a straight changeup that like Javier and Blanco have done. Everything was straight or moving away from the right-handed batters. Nothing was going in.
Yeah. So he to me. If it was a different situation with our pitching injuries. If our bullpen wasn't taxed and there wasn't very few people left, I don't think they would have left him in there that long. I think he was in there way longer than he should have been. And but that doesn't make it any better. But overall, I think he did okay. I think there's some, I think just like you saw some things he can work on, I think he's going to learn. You know, I have to throw some in the dirt. I can't throw the same pitch over and over. I can't fool a major league batter more than once with the same stuff. I just can't do it.
And you've got to think, for a kid that's coming in for his first game, he is all jacked up.
Yeah.
You know, they talk about pitchers when they come in, their fastball's got an extra mile or two on it. The breaking ball flattens out. The change of speeds, you hear people in their first time up that they have trouble getting feel for the ball because they're just so excited to be in the game. And again, like Blair Henley the other night, no matter what happens, he did something that you and I and just about everybody listening on this podcast will never do, and that is pitch in a major league game.
That's
congratulations
right.
to him.
You got to respect both of these kids making it that far. I don't know when they showed this graphic. I don't know if it was before the game or after the first inning, but they showed the graphic about how J.P. France and Hunter Brown, they had their debuts, 5 scoreless innings. And I don't know if they jinxed things. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. But after 2 innings, I was like, hey, we're going to see another shutout by this kid. And then they just tore him apart in that third inning.
Yeah, after the first 2 innings, you certainly didn't see a 7 spot coming. You know, they might nick him for 1 or 2 and he'd get out of it. But boy, when they hit him, they hit him.
Yeah. All right. So offensively, Alex Bregman, who's one of the guys struggling offensively, 2 for 4. He scored a run. His average is up to 245 now. Yainer Diaz went 2 for 3. He also walked, drove in a run. He's hitting 326. Abreu, 0 for 3, RBI. 081. He must have got a hit somewhere because last time I saw you, he was hitting, unless that was Maldi. You know,
yeah,
he was hitting 061.
Yeah, the official score, you know, was sympathetic to him last night. There was a ball that was hit up the middle that Witt really should have been charged for an error. In fact, in my notes on the game, I had as an error and they gave him an infield hit.
So a lot of people are slandering my boy, Jose Abreu. I can't explain why he's doing so bad. And the thing about it, you know, they're like, DFA him, eat the contract. I mean, I think at the most, maybe they'll put him on the bench if he just doesn't do anything. But it looks like they're trying everything they can. And the funniest thing about it, and I think you might have texted or it doesn't matter where they put Abreu, the runners on base keep finding him. It doesn't matter if he's batting fifth or eighth. How is that possible? It's just kind of weird.
Isn't it weird how in baseball, if you've got a fielder who's having some fielding troubles, you know, it'd be a shortstop, for example. He's made a couple errors, and then you get a man on first and a big situation, there comes a ball that should be a 6-4-3, and he boots it.
Yeah.
Abreu's up first inning, you know, or second inning, and you know, he's got a chance. Last night, good example. He comes up and he hits a 6-4-3. First and third, one out, 6-4-3. You could almost see it coming.
Today he had a runner on first and third with one out in his first 2 at bats.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
He got one of them in, I think. The other one, he struck out the first time, right?
I have no idea. My memory is gone. I've erased it. If I didn't write it down, I don't remember it. But somebody was talking about...
he grounded it. Tonight is when he grounded into the double play. Top of the second.
There you go.
He had first and third, one out. He grounded into the double play.
Yeah, he grounded into double play. And I text you guys. I was like, look, Chaz and Jeremy Pena hit the same exact ball, but with different, you know, one of them got out. One of them got, you know, ran one out. and he hit into a double play because he's old and he's slow, and that's just what happened. And somebody on Twitter, they said, you know, when I went and Googled White Sox, or not, I looked up White Sox on there, and these guys are saying the exact same thing about my boy Maldi. He's an automatic out. Get him out of there. I think the guy's hitting 60. He's worse than Abreu. Yeah,
the difference between Abreu and Maldi is you could see Maldi coming. Abreu, you've seen some decline in Abreu, but no one saw this level of ineptitude. Maldi's average. White Sox signed Robbie Grossman, and he's hitting 167.
Maldi's hitting 167.
No.
Grossman.
Grossman is.
So the Astros went 2-for-13. You can't say that they didn't have chances to score. 2-for-13 with runners in scoring position. They left 10 on base. The Astros had 9 hits. The offense was there. They just couldn't bring them in.
Yeah, Maldi's hitting 091. It's the same story every night. That's if there's any theme. You know, we started off saying that the bullpen was the problem. Well, bullpen's kind of lined itself out.
Yeah.
If you look at one thing, the Astros are not hitting, and the situational hitting's been horrible.
Yeah.
And there's just no way to sugarcoat it. 5-for-18 last night. You know, they got 3 hits with guys in scoring position, but that didn't score anybody. Yeah. You know, tonight you're 2-for whatever it is, and you know, you got to be better. It's easy for us to say who are not playing the game, and those guys are better than we could ever think about being. But they'll even be saying that this themselves, that they have to be better.
You know, I'm not going to say that anybody sucks, like what you're saying. They're better than any of us are ever going to be. But it's understandable as a fan to be frustrated.
Oh, sure it is.
You know, but I'm not going to say that because I've got to know Luke's dad. And he said there's nothing that makes him more mad when people say that these guys suck, because he says he knows the work they put into it. So from that time, I've tried my hardest and my best not to slander anybody.
Yeah, I know. I agree. We can be frustrated, but to say they suck, you know, when we're going to go out and do what we're doing, and they are one of, say, 3% that starts off at single A ball that makes it up to MLB. That those guys are all so good. They're just not performing at the level they want to perform right now.
All right. So it is time, folks. It is time for the Ramshirts player of the game. And let me remind you again, we've got one email. I don't really check my Gmail a lot, but I'm going to check it again tonight. Send whoever we pick, it could be my pick or his, but I kind of think we're going to pick the same guy, the player of the game. Send an email to astrosbaseballpodcast@gmail.com and just put in this episode who we picked as player of the game. So let's start with you, Wally. Who is your player of the game, your Ramshirts player of the game?
Well, there's really only two guys.
Two guys.
Maybe kind of three if you want to look at it. There's three people or groups of people that deserve some props. Belak, Mashinsky, and Taylor Scott deserve lots of credit for putting in eating the innings and not making a total shambles of the ball game.
You mean Belak?
Belak.
Taylor Scott only threw a third of an inning.
Yeah, but he was the last one. Okay, Belak, Mashinsky, and Taylor Scott three of them.
Yeah, they should be.
Yeah, they ate up six. They ate up 5 innings.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't great. Mashinsky's got an ERA of over 11, but he did his job of not exposing the rest of the bullpen. Two batters, you've got Bregman, you've got Diaz. I'm going to give the player of the game to Bregman, simply because when you look at where Bregman has fallen off the last couple of years, he gets down close to 200 or below, and it gets down to June.
Yeah.
Bregman was in the 100s last week. If he can overcome this sort of slow start and put it on an upward path this early in the season, think better things are going to happen.
Yeah, early in the season, a 245 average is pretty respectable.
Yeah.
Another person that quadrupled his batting average is Yordan.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Yordan came in batting about 220, and he gets four hits, and he's hitting 320.
Yeah. So my player of the game, my Ram shirt's player of the game, and I did say to send the email if you want, but I didn't say to win a shirt. But Ram Shirts is going to send you a free shirt. All you have to do is send that email to astrosbaseballpodcast@gmail.com, and you can have a chance to win a shirt. And there's only one entry so far, so you got a 50-50 chance. All right, so my player of the game is Yiner Diaz, 2-for-3 with a walk. He was on base 3 times. It seemed like every time he got up to bat, he did something.
He was the other one that you look at.
I didn't get Pena's numbers, but like he had that fielder's choice that could have been a double play, and he legged it out. He did a lot of stuff today. It seemed like he had a really good game also.
Yeah.
JP.
Here's the thing, that one of the frustrating things a little bit, you look at the averages of some of these guys. Altuve's hitting 340. Alvarez is hitting 346. Tucker's only hitting 259, but he is 0 for 5 today. That could be 60 points in one night on its own. Diaz is hitting 326. You've got Pena hitting 327. If you were saying that those guys were hitting that, you would say you'd be in great shape.
Yeah, it's the runners in scoring position.
That's right.
The offense is there. All right, for those of you listening to the audio version of the podcast, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
And we're back. All right. So the standings, Texas was 6-5 and they won today. So it's not like as bad as it's going for us. No one's running away with the division. The Angels are 6-6. The Astros are 4-9. They now have a -9 run differential. And that's all from. It's almost all from today. 7 of it from today. The Oakland A's are also 4-9, but they've won 3 games in a row. What do you think about the comments? And I think as a fan, we can all say this. You know, Dana Brown was like, all we got to do is string together like an 8-game win streak and everything's going to flip-flop. And that's true. I mean, is this the team? Do we have the pitching staff? I mean, are we too injured in the starting rotation to get an 8-game win streak?
Boy, when guys say like that, it's almost like they're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. If the team starts hitting in scoring position, of course they can run off 8-10 in a row.
Yep.
The thing that we really need is to get the pitchers to go more than 5 innings. Your bullpen can survive a couple of months like this, but if you're running 4, 5, 6 innings max out of your pitchers and you don't have a horse to go all the way, that's your bullpen's going to wear out. And we've seen, we don't have the arms down on the farm to bring up and last a 6-month season.
All right. So every team except Texas has a negative run differential in the AL West. Texas is plus, I think it's plus 19 or something like that. So tomorrow's game, I forgot that we played Texas on Monday, right? So I was like,
yeah, we played them on Monday. We're going to play them again this weekend.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I got my days confused because we play tomorrow at 1:00, and I was like, we don't play these guys 4 times. And I remembered. So tomorrow's game's at 1:10. And I see the starting pitcher, Hunter Brown. Of course we have a chance to win. He's 0-1 with a 6-4-3. And Kansas City's pitcher is Singer, who's 1-0 with a 0.68 ERA. So he's pitched one game, and he did great. I mean, who cares? I think we still have a chance with Hunter Brown. The Astros are great on the road. I don't know what's going on in Kansas City, but Kansas City is 8-4. They're 8-2 in their last 10, and they've won 6 games in a row now.
Kansas City's had our number the last 2 years.
Yeah, I saw that. They showed it on the
what, you know, with Hunter, don't you kind of wonder, wish Hunter would, he's got so much, he got enough movement on the ball that he just kind of throw it down the middle. He's got enough life and let the ball shoot to the corners. He seems like he gets fine and doesn't have the control to really hit the corners. But he's got electric stuff.
Well, the game's tomorrow at 1:10. I will be at work.
I'll watch it.
I think you're the only one that can watch the game, but we can definitely cover the final game. We have a schedule, folks, of who's going
to
do the
podcast. You know what, me being able to watch the game in the afternoon means only one thing. So I'm getting old.
Yeah, you're retired. Wally's retired, folks.
Kind of.
But we've got Framber on the IL. I don't know for how long. What update have you heard about that?
I haven't heard anything. They just said that it was
upper.
They were hopeful, but no one's really saying a whole lot. Anytime pitchers and elbows get used in the same sentence, it makes you wonder what's going on.
Yeah, I saw a story. I tell you, I've said this many times. I'm a headline reader. I don't really read a lot of stuff, but I did read the headline that Garrett Cole spoke up about it. And it seemed like he had a different opinion than other people, maybe. Did you see
that? Yeah, what'd Cole say? I saw he said something, but I didn't.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I just read the headline, but it seemed the way it was worded. You know, you have the headline and the little sub-headline. It seemed like he didn't think like everybody else about the time, the clock being an issue. JV pitched in Sugarland. He's working on a pitch, so if you're worried about him getting blown up the other day, don't worry about it. You know, he's just working on things over there, and I think he's going to do one more rehab session or rehab game. They said it is not scheduled yet, so we'll figure that out.
Yeah. But
JV will be back soon.
Yeah, basically what Cole said is quit squabbling. Let's get together and figure out what's the problem.
All right. So who knows what it is?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of it. It seems like every day there's another team that has a pitcher that has issues with his elbow.
Well, you know, you and I and a few others have texted off, you know, off the podcast. And you know, when we were – you know, when I was growing up and you played baseball, then you played football. If you were tall, unlike me, you played basketball. And you had some time off and you might have a few all-star games in baseball, but the travel team gig had not started at all. You know, you get a lot of these kids now who are playing year round, especially the pitchers, they get RSIs. It's nothing more than a repetitive stress injury. Mm-hmm. They use it and young kids don't get a chance to take a break. Then they're told to throw as hard as they can and spin it as hard as they can. And guess what? You're going to get arm injuries.
Yeah. I agree with you. You know, I had, I'm trying to think of his name. I think his name was Pat Combs. He used to play for the Phillies. and he is very negative about the travel ball teams. And he was saying that he had a team, you know, he said that the travel ball teams, there used to be like 18 to 20 really good teams and the matchups were all good. And now there's tons of them. You know, there's these travel ball teams full of all-stars. And he said his team would just run rule them. It's like these guys aren't all-stars. This is just like a money business now. And but anyway, I believe like how we were kids, we played football, then we played basketball, and then we played baseball. And then we went swimming and we enjoyed our summer after baseball was over. And then we played football again, you know, but we didn't do the same thing all the time. And I think there's a lot of like the older generation of baseball players that are saying you should do different things. Like don't just play baseball.
And a lot of it, you hear of a lot of the high school coaches will say, I don't want a kid that's not playing travel ball. Hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it just builds on itself. Who knows if that's the right answer. Just you get young bodies that are doing more than they probably should.
Yeah.
Too often.
I think if you're good enough, that coach is going to take you, whatever you do. So anyway, coming up after tomorrow's game, we go back home and we play Texas. And I like our starting pitchers in this. I actually like Hunter tomorrow, but I really like the starting pitchers for this next series. Friday, we have JP France. I expect him to have a bounce back game. Then we have the main man. I don't know. I don't think we announced this, but he was the American League Player of the Week.
He should be.
He was. Ronel Blanco.
I mean, got through 15 innings of no-hit ball. That's pretty strong.
American League Player of the Week, Ronel Blanco. And then Sunday, we got Christian Javier. They got Dunning, Heaney, and Eovaldi. I think if we can win tomorrow, we'll be like 5-9. I think that's what it is. Win a couple of these. We could leave the Texas, not leave the Texas series, but after the Texas series, let's say we win 2 out of 3, we could be 7-8. And then all we got to do is just get a small streak together, get back over 500, get some health going, and JV will be back, and maybe his presence in the dugout, you know, his presence with the young pitchers, maybe it'll help. I'm not giving up. I'm far away from giving up, but today was frustrating.
Well, you know, one thing too with the Rangers, they'll have played 10 of their first 13 games at home. This will start their first true road trip. They've had a pretty sweet schedule.
I think Pittsburgh started out really well, and they played like I think it was Pittsburgh. Somebody played like the first 13 games on the road. I'm going to look it up because it's something ridiculous like that. Let me find the standings. I don't want to bore you guys to death, but I think it's Pittsburgh. Oh, it's not going to. Oh, yeah.
It's not the Pirates.
No, it's but not. The
Pirates are all, Pirates are good. Are a good story. I hope they keep it up.
Detroit is 6-2 at home. Oh, Boston. Boston played their first 10 games on the road. That's what it was.
Wow. That's insane.
I knew there was that one team.
Absolutely insane.
All right. So we got to rely on our starters. Bullpen's wiped out. We got to get to that sixth inning. We got Abreu. We got Presley. You know, let's line them up. Let's straighten these guys out. Let's get it together.
Let's hit with runners in scoring position.
Let's do
it. I think you'll see the pitchers relax if the batters start knocking guys in. You know, you kind of get the feeling this team is pressing, especially the pitchers. You're probably right, but they have such a thin margin and everybody's pressing right now. They just don't look like they're having any fun, as they shouldn't, because it's 4-9.
I think you go up to bat and you're down 7-0 after 3 innings, you're going to be pressing.
Yep.
But if you're pitching, like you said, you go in and your team scores a couple of runs in the first, another run, and you're up 4-0. Like, you know, you're going to throw strikes. You're not going to be walking people because you got that lead, but I don't know. So anyway, Spencer Arrighetti had his debut. It was okay. The Astros offense is there, but again, RISP. So we'll get it together. I have faith that we're going to get it together, but that's all I got, buddy. You got any final thoughts? Yeah.
No, just I'd like to see the team relax and have fun.
Yeah, and don't give up, folks.
And don't give up. This is still a long season. You played about 8% of the games.
Yeah, and I will never give up on Jose Abreu, so you do not give up on the Astros. For Wally, we will see you next time on Astros Baseball.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.